welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. All right, welcome back, and it's now or never. As we kind of look, as a matter of fact, one of the things that I try to point out to people that we just so have to be going through, and I don't know the technical terms. I usually rely on Kenny B. or others to kind of help me out with some of these things, but the Israel, or the, you know, ancient Israel, and from then to now, and actually from Adam and Eve point in time, God gave the commandment to basically work the ground for 6 years and rest it, and the seventh year was a jubilee. And just so you know, the end of the jubilee is occurring now. The last time the jubilee ended was in 2015. And so the seven-year cycle that the calendar kind of runs on is kind of interesting, but my point is this, is that, you know, as we wrap up this seven-year cycle, it doesn't seem like Israel is going to declare peace with Islam and its neighboring nations. And so who knows, miracles can be performed, but these are the signs of the times, and what we should see, I think it's not even prophetic if one just looks at the scriptures of what we are going to expect to see. We should be seeing the attempt of the formation of a global church. And what I mean by a singular, or movement to try to create a singular global church, a movement to create a single government, a governing body. And some would attest to that's the UN, but that the UN is the, you know, the forerunner for this. Just like the League of Nations was the forerunner for this global government scheme of New World Order, whatever you want to call it. But anyway, my point is this, is that as we kind of look at where we are, what we're facing, and you hear me say this a lot, because I'm just using that as a backdrop, really. It's not as relevant of what I want to talk about today. Because what we need to look at, because you hear me say all the time that we need to start uniting. We need to unite on the Constitution and so forth. And so I wanted to take a kind of a different approach in helping you understand why we have to do that and how we have to do that. One of the things that is contributing to, I would just say, the confusion is this appeal on the conservative side of moving back towards a Christian government. And so, not that our government wasn't founded on the principles of government. Our government was actually really founded, which was the underlying foundation of natural law. You got to remember that when these men sat down in the same room, they really didn't talk about, you know, scriptural doctrine and that type of stuff. They all agreed upon natural law and the fundamentals of natural law, which is basically nature's law and the laws of God. And so we have to kind of put aside this, you know, this, if you want to call it a reformation, or actually I look at it as a shift towards theocracy, because I believe it or not, there are people that are coming very close to justifying the putting aside the Constitution for a theocracy. And I'm telling you, folks, that's just as bad, maybe not as bad, but it's close to as being as bad as, you know, creating a communist government or going down, you know, the government that we already have that's a violation of the Constitution. This secular godless church that has been established by the federal government and has been rammed down everybody's throat is, as far as I see this, is a huge violation and overreach of the government. So what do we do? Well, understanding a couple of things I think will really help. One thing that we have to understand is what is enlightenment and what is an enlightened society? Enlightenment is a paradigm that, you know, we as the people of the society are willing to sacrifice our own self-indulgences for the betterment. In other words, yeah, it's nice to have, you know, gambling. It's nice to have all of these distractions, but these distractions are debasing our society. Pornography, all of these things. And actually, let's just call it for what it is. These things are evil. And so we easily can get caught up in any of these, and they're very addictive. And when you get, you know, when you get that stink on you, it's hard to wash off. Sometimes it's almost impossible with some of the drugs that they have today that, you know, once you've, you know, like crack or what have you, they really realign your synapses and the way your brain functions. And so these things, I mean, why would you wish your enemy to do or partake of any of these types of things? And the bottom line is, getting back to enlightenment and natural law, this is why we kind of cover this in the interim before we start building into the, you know, the historical founding of the nation, the ratification debates, the Constitutional Convention, you know, all these things that kind of lead up to the Constitution, which we're covering right now. You know, we cover lots of different content throughout the year, and going through the Constitution is something we do every year, and we read it and we identify how each part is being violated. I'm absolutely amazed on a going down a little rat hole here. I'm absolutely amazed by how there are so many people out there that, you know, look at the Constitution and they don't see these things. They don't see, they've read it. They don't understand how these things are violations. And then on the other hand, I see people that read the Constitution and then they read, you know, or they look at all of the facts of what the federal government has done and is doing, and they go, you know, everything they buy into. So this is dangerous. These people buy into the fact that the federal government has created corporations legitimately. In other words, they look at our government as a legitimate government. And it's only legitimate in those things that are founded on the Constitution. All other things are just a facade. All of these other things are literally fraudulent and are are designed to actually put us on this path of destruction. The federal government can't create corporations. They can't regulate corporations. This is why teaching and understanding, placing context to the enumerated powers is really critical, that we understand that these are the only things they can do, and everything else that they're doing that isn't directly associated to these enumerated powers is a violation. It's really that simple. It's a violation of the Constitution. So when we look at all of these things, like the corporations, then we have to actually say, okay, what do we do to fix this? And so that's a kind of a segue into Republic Review, and we're going to get into that. And you're going to want to be tuning in during the month of November, because we're going to be covering those things that kind of led up to the resolutions of 1798 by Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, and how they initiated the first attempt of what we call Republic Review. Republic Review may be something I came up with because, and actually I will tell you, Douglas V. Gibbs, radio show host out of California, who kind of, we befriended each other and we started working together. And when we were sitting down to kind of talk about what this process was that I was working on, we basically looked at it and I came up and I said, you know, as you look at judicial review, most everybody understands, and most anybody can place context to what judicial review is. And I ask you, where in the Constitution does the court have the authority to exercise judicial review? They don't. They don't have any opportunity to be proactive and reach down and so forth. And so what we're looking at in these resolutions of Thomas Jefferson and so forth, and how these really kind of, I don't want to use the word evolved, how we, or I, delineated these things and through analysis, reading, and doing more and more research. And over that process, I will say that they evolved, or they improved, as we started tying them closer and closer to the intent of Madison and Jefferson. Or in understanding contract law, we were able to, you know, create a more precise process in identifying the variances of the compact or the variances of the law and the contract itself, and getting us closer to obedience or being conforming and complying to the Constitution. And so Republic Review is that process. And the name for that came up with the fact of what we look at the process, how is it done? It is done by the parties. The parties are the states, which means that we're talking about the Republic. And so Republic Review is the states coming together and exercising their authority over the compact to actually, you know, do what they should have been doing all along in saying to the federal government, identifying these, they can't be doing these things, and then working together, providing the political force to getting the federal government into compliance, to shut down these corporations, to shut down all of the things that they've been doing to basically subjugate the states and just destroy the Constitution and our Republic. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic Review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so actually, so where we're going here is what we're trying to do is give you the information necessary to kind of look at how, you know, we're all a part of the problem. We're all looking and doing things that aren't really contributing. So this is a kind of a tough nut to crack, and this is one that's really hard to get our arms around, because a lot of people don't realize what it takes for a society to get on the track of enlightenment. And enlightenment is that process that basically kind of has society create these safeguards. See, here's the thing. Can an enlightened society banned books. Well, yeah, they should ban books for age appropriate. I mean, society has to realize that a baby, a two-year-old, doesn't have the comprehension level, nor does it have the maturity of being able to process and understand, you know, very specific topics. And the immaturity of the mind, it shouldn't be exposed to certain things that would, you know, instantly drive that little child down a wrong path, in, you know, self-indulgent, those types of things. Discipline is necessary. It is a fundamental element of an enlightened society, self-discipline and societal discipline, and they have to work hand in hand. You've heard me talk about, with my interview with Michelle Bachmann, that we as a society have been working, you know, the government actually has been the one that has been promoting and spending tax dollars on removing the consequences of sin. Clearly, sin, or specific types of behavior that is identified as sin, you know, both by the Bible, Christianity, and so forth, and almost every fundamental religion from Hinduism and so forth, I mean, in some ways, it's just wrong to murder. It's just wrong to kill. It's wrong to be hateful. Those types of things. I mean, so when you look at natural law, most all religions except for Islam, you know, fall into a level of agreement to where we kind of agree that these things are bad. Now, there are some things on the moral side or what have you that aren't necessarily embraced by, you know, otherworldly religions, such as, you know, the way Christianity and Judaism, or I should say the Jews and Israel, that's how they view the biblical context of morality and those things. So, I mean, there are some minor conflicts, but fundamentally they all agree. Most all religions agree, except again for Islam and secularism. And when I say secularism, I mean godlessness and communism. Because, believe it or not, communism is founded on godlessness. And I mean, that's what Karl Marx basically laid out at the very end of his book, The Communist Manifesto, is that religions and families had those fundamental units of society needed to be destroyed, that the state would basically take over those functions of the family, and the state would take over the functions of the church. So in other words, they were creating a state church, which is why the federal government got into the business of dictating doctrine in doing exactly that, in establishing a state secular church. They didn't have to build a building and print their own Bible. They made it up as they went along. And they said, thou shalt not teach, you know, thou shalt not teach creation in school. Thou shalt teach evolution. Thou shalt challenge all things pertaining to Christianity and the doctrines of Christianity in school, which is why we now have a godless secular church with its, instead of it, I don't call it a Sunday school. It's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday school, folks. And how is it that the 1 hour you spend on Sunday to combat those paradigms that are being woven into all of these different topics from literature and English and even sciences and math and so forth? I mean, your kids are being indoctrinated into a very, this web work of complex secular godlessness and evil doctrine. But anyway, the point here is, what do we need to do to actually get onto that path of enlightenment? Well, first, we actually have to start understanding natural law and the importance of discipline and the importance of not allowing certain types of things to be acceptable in society. Certain books should not be available to certain ages. So the question is, your public library, should your public library, which is open to all ages, you know, should, you know, all the things be on the shelf for all ages? No. There are certain books and certain topics that a child under the age of 18 shouldn't be reading. Now, it's okay to later on for a child to be exposed to those things, But I think a child needs to be prepared well in advance to understand that there are evil dogmas. There are paradigms that are very destructive. And I believe that it's very easy to create a curriculum or historical context to how societies have been destroyed by embracing the ideas that permeate from many of these pieces of literature, books, and so forth. It's one thing to be able to look at something objectively, but it's another thing to read something that is being espoused as doctrine or truth, and for a child to embrace it because they have no context really to the truth, to the things underneath the topics that they read. And so enlightenment in society has to be one of the things that we, if you want to call yourself a conservative, if you're a constitutionalist, you have to start understanding that we have to start looking and understanding and kind of living by natural law. Natural law does allow the state or we, the people, to create barriers or at least levels for a person to be exposed to certain things. I mean, was prostitution open and was some of the evils of society, such as, you know, drunkardness and those types of things, acceptable? No. They weren't problematic, though. But they did have, and they did create laws that kept, you know, the dens of iniquity from actually flourishing and allowing children and those types of things, that type of exposure for children and exposure in our society to permeate. I mean, those things were either regulated or they were outlawed. I remember reading some idiot that tried to espouse the fact that, you know, it was because of prostitution that America, you know, and immorality that America is great. No, that's not true at all. America was great because of its fundamental, I guess the best way to say this is the way America built itself on common law and natural law, that they were able to create a society that gave people enough liberties, the inalienable rights that God gave all of us to choose for ourselves and those types of things, that we were able to create a productive society. I mean, in America, we didn't have the orphanage problems that France had. France was just one small country in contrast to the United States. The United States was far more populated than France at the same time in the 1770s. And when one looks at France, because John Adams talks about when he went to France, how he went to the Paris orphanage and he saw so many kids, he goes, there's not nearly this amount of kids throughout all of North America in an orphanage. And the fact of the matter is that that was an indictment on the debasing of France, how France was literally becoming an immoral society and it was moving away from enlightenment. I mean, its heyday of enlightenment basically sprang up at the time when Sir Isaac Newton was challenging laws and coming up with new laws of science. And if you look at Sir Isaac Newton and his paradigm on science and God, he basically warns people that whenever science is trying to disprove God, science has now become its own enemy to natural law. Because when science is working to disprove the divine hand in the origins and the creation of all things, then we've turned our backs on the truth. And the truth is that there's more and more evidence as science moves forward that we realize that You know, all of these things, these assertions from, you know, man-made climate change to, you know, the evolution and how we were created, we're disproving all of these theories. And the fact is that you're not being able to get exposed to that because our society is now at a point where it is censoring that type of information. So here's the interesting thing. And the reason I got into this dialogue today is because I've seen some posts where in Wyoming and other states, the people are basically calling for banning certain books. And so when we look at the, you know, banning books and those types of things, then people get in an outrage. Oh, the censorship, and this is terrible. No, it's not. As a matter of fact, they're not saying that they, you know, the ban them completely and burn them all. They have no place in a public library. And to be clear, they don't have any place in a public library. We are a civil society, and we'll be right back after these two promos.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so when we actually look at policies and things that we do in society, are we actually doing things that will propel society to higher levels and to be able to do greater things, or are we chasing, you know, the feel-good moments of the time? Because enlightenment, I don't want to say there's no place for recreation, but an enlightened society is not centered on self-indulgences. An enlightened society is not centered on entertainment. Look at today, and what are the biggest driving influences in our world today? It's entertainment, from sports to the movies, to television. I mean, people live for their entertainment and their recreation. I hate to use the word literally, but I mean, people, you know, go to work just so they can put themselves into debt to go on, you know, a vacation. Or are you finding, or have you ever known a family that, you know, spends all of their money, they go into debt, they spend money they don't have just to have a big Christmas so they can give, you know, go on a vacation and give, you know, gifts and make it a very elaborate Christmas, a materialistic type of Christmas. Well, that's not the spirit and the intent behind Christmas. What the heck happened? Why is it that we see people that are actually putting themselves in jeopardy to live a lifestyle like that? The fact of the matter is, when we look at society, how many people have any type of savings that if, you know, what's the best word for it? When all of a sudden, you know, a calamity comes into their lives, a crisis where they lose their job or somebody gets hurt or somebody has medical distress or, you know, some real problem. How many people in our society have a savings that will be able to support them to get through, you know, some kind of crisis without income or what have you? I mean, when we look at the numbers statistically today, I'm going to say it's somewhere between 80 and 90% of America does not have an adequate savings for some type of event like that to come along. And what ends up happening is they get decimated. That's why bankruptcy courts, you know, are an easy and quick revolving door to allow people to expunge debts and so forth. This goes back to the constitutionality of, you know, not being able to expunge certain debt, but you can expunge all other debt. That is unconstitutional. If you can expunge debt through bankruptcy, all debt must be on the table. You can't just cherry pick our, you know, well, you can't expunge our debt, but you can expunge everybody else's. That's just unconstitutional, and it's tyrannical. The point of the fact is that when we start looking at specific behavior, then we have to actually call the behavior for what it is and the consequences of it by reducing or taking away the consequences of certain behavior, bad behavior. Then what we have done is we've promoted bad behavior over good behavior. Case in point. And so this goes back to, and this has kind of been weighing on me because I tried to cover this a week ago when I started talking about the consequences of sin, and I pointed out homosexuality. And some people thought that, you know, okay, I'm calling to drag, I want to drag these people out into the street so we can stone them. And that wasn't the intent. The intent is that if a person, so it's not stoning a person when all of a sudden they make a choice that they want to engage in this sexual deviation. And, you know, I could say perversion, what have you, but it is non-normal, non-designed for, by our Creator, the type of behavior that we should indulge in or we should be active in having a family, in procreating, and so forth. So in other words, if you choose to practice this type of behavior, and that type of behavior will not allow you to have fruit or, you know, have your own children, then you have no leg to stand on to come back to society and say, hey, I deserve to have a child. You got to give me one. No. If you want to have a child, fix yourself and live the life that will, you know, give you that and allow you to have. But if you go down that path, you shouldn't have any children. Because based on your decision, based on how you've decided to go down this path, if you've turned your back on the act of procreation and believing that you know, that is the societal way of an enlightened society, and you think that your behavior is more important than enlightenment, then those are the consequences. You cannot have a child. There are certain things you've exposed yourself to, and those are the risks you've had to take. You know, buyer beware. Buyer beware when you start playing around with these very powerful and very influential things of sexual perversion, sexual deviance, whatever it is. You know, it's the same thing with drugs. Buyer beware. Don't think, you know, I've spoken to, you know, kids and, you know, groups in the past. And when I say in the past, I mean decades ago, that, you know, I've told kids in the past that Don't think you're a Superman. Don't think that you have some powers that are greater than anybody else, because when you step into the ring and you start taking heroin, you have entered into a, you know, a path of addiction that has killed many. And very few people have been able to, you know, truly get away from, you know, addiction on their own. I mean, for some reason, we really believe, oh, well, it won't happen to me. You know, these kids that go down these paths of whether it be drugs or what have you, pornography, deviations, it doesn't matter. You are not a Superman. You go, oh, well, I like doing this. I like the high or what have you. You know, it. Once you start, it is very hard to stop. There's, you know, you have to be an outlier. And I tell people, what makes you think you're going to be that outlier? Statistically, the odds are against you. You have thrown yourself into a high, such a high risk that you have to be either a fool and, or more importantly, you have to be probably a blind fool because you're in complete denial. Now, the fact is that if we had these types of attitudes and if we had these types of, you know, paradigms that we were sharing with our kids and helping them understand that it's just not worth it. Statistically, the odds are against you. Why would you even do that? Why would you go down that path? It's the same thing with reading crap. It's almost like a drug. Giving a child something that, you know, makes their mind think a certain way and starts firing off dopamines or whatever. It is a dangerous proposition. Why would we put our most vulnerable, or those people at a young age that are so highly impressionable? I want you to understand something, because I pointed this out in my very first book, that the progressives knew a long, long time ago, even Marx knew a long time ago, the impressionable youth and how the younger a child is when you get a hold of it, you can actually start indoctrinating them into getting them to believe and making them one of your minions, one of your useful idiots, because they have no wisdom. Wisdom is not acquired at the age of 5. Wisdom is not even acquired at the age of 18. Wisdom is takes years to develop because one has to learn from their mistakes. But if you can get somebody trapped into a huge mistake for the rest of their lives, you've basically made it harder for them to become wise and be able to break free of the chains that you have bound them with. So why, folks, why in our society do we keep on doing this? And this goes back to this concept of getting involved in supporting those things of enlightenment. What is the one thing that we have? What is the one thing that every person in the United States shares that helps us get on the path of enlightenment? Believe it or not, you know, the Bible is one of those things. It helps us learn to live a moral law and those types of things. But when it comes to how we govern ourselves, the Constitution is the most powerful document that can help a society lift itself out of the depths of depravity and be able to, you know, start climbing out of this. Now, we've got plenty of people that really care. We've got plenty of people that want to do good things. But let's not throw caution to the wind and start injecting things that don't belong in our hybrid constitutional republic as far as governance. You know, the framers, and I'm going to go back to this religious doctrine and so forth. The framers didn't, again, they did not talk about their interpretation or how they lived this doctrine, that doctrine, or what have you. As a matter of fact, those topics and conversations were very personal. They were done between the individuals in a very personal setting. But when they were sitting in the same room, they weren't talking about how they can Christianize America, or, you know, what faith they wanted to inject upon America. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, well, I had no idea I had to cough with an open mic, but anywho, let me wrap this up, because I can't emphasize enough that we have to start embracing discipline. We have to embrace barriers to actually, because it's not about just free agency. It's about responsibility as well as accountability. And government's job is not to expose, you know, inappropriate material to any child. As a matter of fact, for years and years, we existed with laws on the books that did not allow us to expose children to erotic material or, you know, nudities and these types of things. And putting pornography of any type, whether it be text, literature, whether it be, you know, pictorial, you know, or even impressionists, it doesn't matter. Those things should not be in the presence of a child, period. And as a society, we have to invoke discipline. And so when people say that these things ought to be banned from, you know, it's, if you want to go and you want to actually have that material to and give it to your children, then let your children and you be the outlier in society. But don't ask us to basically, you know, enable and or help your children or you going down the road as the consequences of your decisions. Allowing society to basically pick people up, because our government was never designed to be the welfare state. As a matter of fact, the churches that were established by the states at that point in time of the Constitution, if you didn't know, all 13 states had established religions. That's right. And as a matter of fact, when the Constitution was ratified, not one of those churches were required to surrender their established church. Some of the latest churches to give up their established church went all the way to the 1870s and the 1860s. I think three come to mind. That being said, the churches were the ones that administered compassionate services, not government. Government had very defined and specific functions, and they were very limited. That government was not to be the one to be peddling pornography or even peddling welfare or removing the consequences of bad decisions made by people, institutions, or what have you. They are not in the business of bailing people out or corporations or insurance companies. It doesn't matter. That's not their job. So whose job is it to bail you out when all of a sudden, you know, the roosters have come home or the chickens have come home to roost? I guess that's the little metaphor. So what happens? Who's to help you out? Well, bottom line, if we go back to an enlightened society and the only place is either your family, your community, or your church to help you, now you have what I would say is a loving hand to say you have to change your ways if we're going to help you. In other words, if you continue taking drugs, if we help you and you take drugs with that, are any help that we give you stops? It's the same thing, because in the old days it was drinking, and people had to give up their drinking if the church was going to help them and come in and, you know, give the person some training or assistance in job placement or whatever it was to help that family and that the provider or whomever. You weren't just entitled to that money to say, come in here and help me out. You had to be basically humble, and you had to be willing to, you know, live to the standards that the church has had. Wow, this is a very powerful process in society, which is why people, you know, had what they call self-respect, that they didn't have this entitlement to say, you owe it to me. When you need help, you have to be deserving of it. So as we start looking at, you know, moving into and uniting, what I want to, you know, impart with you, and especially today, is understanding what it takes to actually have, I will say, a bargaining table, a negotiating table to say, you know, we're here to be fair, but we're not here to actually be nice. We want to make sure that we can, you know, we have a system that can take care of people, but government is not that system. It was never designed to be that system. And that's why we go through the cod fishery bounties, to prove that the government was never designed to actually have a public purse in providing for education, a public purse in providing for health care, or any of the other compassionate services. We were left to our own demise and to actually be dependent on each other collectively and separately from our government. In other words, you know, we need to actually go to, you know, your community and more specifically your laymen or your church leaders to say, you know, how can we help? Because when the church is involved in helping homelessness, and when the church is involved in getting people off drugs, you know, they're not there just giving money. Hey, go get high. Here you go. Oh, and I can't give you any more money. So make that last, because the next time you get your stipend will be the same day next month. No, that's enabling bad behavior. And churches know that. And that's why people, you know, have more faith in the church in solving these problems, because the church doesn't enable like a government does. And government actually propels the problem. We've only grown more and more destructive and more deviant because government's been involved. And so the fact of the matter is we have to start collecting and working together. And this goes back to the importance of standing on the Constitution. One thing I want to impart, because I've only got a few minutes left. When we really look at the Constitution that basically empowers the federal government to do very, very few things, getting the federal government back into that framework is so important, because now when we look at it, because in looking at, I'll just talk about the freedom of the press. The freedom of the press is really a restriction that is placed upon, that the press cannot be abridged, is placed upon the federal government. It is not placed upon the states. Having read the Wyoming state constitution, I can tell you that there is no language in the Wyoming state constitution that says that the freedom of the press shall not be abridged. It does allow and speaks for, you know, the freedom of speech and of the press, but it does not basically say that it can't be abridged. And I believe that many people are looking at the First Amendment that that applies to states, and it does not. The 14th Amendment only applies the privileges and immunities for the U.S. citizen. And as I've told you before, churches, as well as press or platforms such as the newspaper, your TV channels, those are not persons. Those are entities, and entities are not covered as privileges and immunity protections for U.S. citizens. In other words, the 14th Amendment and that little part that applies the Bill of Rights to the states only applies those to the people. And so this is where we can actually start saying, you know what, we can create regulations and we can reel in what we would call our platforms to say, you want to censor, you want to become a propaganda mill, then we're basically going to, you know, start highlighting that we can't, you know, count, or whenever you print an article, we have to basically let people know that this institution is a gossip mill. It is a propaganda mill. It is not a journalistic mill, or it is not a journalistic platform that actually provides the, you know, the objective reporting of the who, the good, the bad, the ugly, the truth, or presents both sides, or actually all three sides of an issue, such as gun control, the, you know, constitutional carry, and the constitutional intent behind the right to bear arms, and then the facts of what the Constitution actually says. In other words, if we don't start getting the press, the media, and our entertainment industry into, you know, the framework and actually taking away their pulpits, because they don't have any constitutional protections at the state level. The states have all the authority to actually force this manipulation and this lying and deceit that these institutions are doing, this wokeness that they're driving down our throats. They don't have the power to do that. And as a matter of fact, to be clear, no state, this is what the Constitution says, this is what the 14th Amendment says, no state can make or enforce any law that abridges the privileges and immunities of a U.S. citizen. That means a corporation cannot, you know, a private corporation or business within a state cannot come along and abridge your right to bear arms, cannot abridge your rights of speech, freedom of religious expression, your right of conscience. Folks, when we look at the Constitution, when we look at how it protects us, it becomes the center point of what we need to be actually embracing moving forward when we unite in reclaiming the Republic. I'm G.R. Mobley. We are reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.